Crisis Theology Bible Study Lesson Number 17, November the 14th, 2008. Hopefully my strength and stamina and my voice will hold out for this third hour of teaching this morning. We're trying desperately to get 20 hours in. We're dealing with the will of the Father in crisis theology, because the way to survive a crisis is to make sure you're in the will of the Father. The going phase we saw was yieldedness. The doing phase is obedience. The being phase is humility. The waiting phase is trust. The testing phase is discernment. The enduring phase is renewal. The recovery phase is hope. The devotion phase is joy. The dying phase is completion. The eternal production phase is faithfulness. The glorification phase is rewardability. We borrowed those from the ideas and concepts from our friend Pastor Will Winter. We point out to you in his notebook, which has been a key part of all the teaching we've got, but not all of it, and develop and expand upon the will of God for the life of the believer, published back in 1993. We're ready to look now at the doing phase of obedience, because this relates to the faith rest life, which we left off with in the last class. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you know the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but will accomplish all you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless it. We ask you to give our voice the strength, the clarity as we speak and teach the word. We pray you'll give us the physical strength and stamina to keep going. In Christ's name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. What are you doing for Jesus? Let's get busy for Jesus. How many times have I heard that? Are you busy for Jesus? There are things to do that could be called being busy for Jesus that most people think about. Witnessing to the lost, we have a duty and responsibility that under ambassadorial functions, a member of the diplomatic corps. Praying. Worshiping. Though most people don't know what worship means. And all the rest. The Apostle John in 1 John 1, 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're under a mandate to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're to have fellowship with our fellow believers by walking in the light, that is, to the perception and application of Bible doctrine. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're not to deny that we have an old sin nature. We're to identify and recognize it. If we deny that, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, maybe we will, maybe we won't, third class condition. We have a duty and responsibility to confess our sins, but we may not do that. If we do, we're restored to fellowship. Believers miss the boat of life over and over and over again because they get confused about what they're supposed to do. They're to be in fellowship with God. To be in fellowship with God, what do? They have to confess their sins. They cannot deny that they have an old sin nature. Verse 8, they cannot deny that they have personal sin. If we say that we have not sinned, that's commit personal sins. We make him, God the Father, a liar. His word, Bible doctrine, is not resident in our souls. That's the corrected doctrinal translation. Then we move to John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, his mandates. Sorry, we're to obey the commandments of God. Verse 11, chapter 3, 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Ah, we're into love again. Fellowship with one another and love one another. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, we're not to love the world system. This includes the American political system, by the way. It's the best that I know about. I support it. But that's not to be our primary love. Our primary love is to be God. If we love God, we thank Him for the freedom to have grown up and lived, if you were born in this country as I was and raised in it, of being able to live in a republican form of government with the many freedoms that go with it. Freedoms that go back to our founding fathers. Freedoms that go back to the Word of God and to the laws of divine establishment for temporal living. As a boy growing up, we used to sing an old hymn called Faith of Our Fathers, written by Frederick W. Faber. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Then A.D. Patton had written a song called Faith of Our Mothers. Faith of our mothers living still in cradle song and bedtime prayer, and nursery lore and fireside love, thy presence still pervades the air. Faith of our mothers living faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mothers loving faith, fount of our childhood's trust and grace. Oh, may thy consecration prove source of a finer and nobler race. Oh, finer, I'm sorry, nobler race. Faith of our mother's loving faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mother's guiding faith for youthful longing, youthful doubt. Our blurred vision blind our way that providential care without. Faith of our mother's guiding faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mother's Christian faith and truth beyond our stumbling creed still serves the home and save the church and breathe our spirit through our deeds. Faith of our mother's Christian faith, we will be true till thee, till death. Those two songs reflect the idea of living the faith rest life from the past. The fathers made them martyrs, by that the spiritual fathers made them martyrs for Christ. Both my father and mother were believers in Jesus Christ. My father only had an eighth grade education. My mother was much more educated than my father. Much of it self-taught education, but they provide us with a good education. They provide us with encyclopedias to study, classical literature to read. And what do you think? I remember my father struggling struggling with reading the Bible. My father was a man. My father was a man that applied what he knew. People used to come seek his counsel. Get a lot of practical, common sense knowledge. Most of you have far more biblical knowledge, I'm sure, than my father ever had. But too much is given, much should be required. You have greater requirements and responsibilities upon you than he does. He was a hard-working man. Night and day he would work. Where do we stand and what's our principles of life? We're not to love the world system. 1 John 2:28 says, and our little children abide in him that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The day is going to come and we're going to have to give an account. The judgment seat of Christ. Are we going to be ashamed in that day? 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even also as he is pure. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. 1 John 3:16 and 17, hereby perceive we love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. First John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 11:12, beloved, if God so loved the world, so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We may have seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 21, of this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Obedience is required as a relationship to love. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the promise we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. We know, 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, does not practice sin, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touch him not. This speaks of the old sin nature. The new man, the human spirit, does not sin. Sin is always in the old sin nature. The human spirit cannot practice sin. It does not mean as a believer you don't ever commit a sin. It means that when you sin, you do it through the flesh, the old sin nature, not through the spiritual being, the new creature. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Now, I was especially interested in one's spiritual fellowship, being in fellowship, no sin unconfessed, having fellowship with God, having fellowship with one another, staying in fellowship, expressing that fellowship in love. Later on, we're going to see in contrast that the Apostle Peter emphasized spiritual growth, increase, improvement, and development were the three key issues with Peter. Found in 2 Peter. Then we'll see Paul emphasis on spiritual growth of the believer in the face of great apostasy. The Apostle Paul placed the focus on remedies for living in the last days, and we're living in the last days. All right, first of all, then let's look at the doctrine of faithless living in relation to the essence and attributes of God. 1, the dispensation of grace, Ephesians 3:1-12, is a paternalistic dispensation because God the Son came to explain God the Father. The dispensation of grace. Look at Ephesians 3:1-12, reading from the King James Translation. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, but if, and it's true, you have heard, because he's written about it. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote it for in a few words. He's written them before. We don't have all his epistles. We have the ones that God intended to put into the account of Scripture. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, and his grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Christ, God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers of heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with a confidence by the faith of him. All right, the dispensation of grace is a paternalistic dispensation because God the Son came to explain God the Father. Now we go to John 1:14 with verse 18. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The divine essence of God is his own triune person. No human being in the flesh is seen, but God veiled in angelic form, especially his incarnate in Jesus Christ, have been seen of men. the Son had appeared. The Father had not been seen, except in the one place in Daniel where we see the Father sitting upon the throne, and the Son, as the Ancient of Ages, coming to him. Outside that one, we have Peterophany, we have Christophany, Christ, God the Son, appearing. Now, point two. God the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father, John 14:16. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And by the Son, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, expedient for me, for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you, but I depart, I will send him unto you. To teach us how to communicate with the Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:26. With the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We compare that to Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. The Spirit is the one that leads us to the Father, to communication with the Father. Because you are the sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Point three, every believer by rebirth is a spiritual child of the Father, John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. An adopted son of the Father, Ephesians 1:5. And predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Point four, as the Father's children, we are granted the right to approach the heavenly throne of grace at any time through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and petition the Father for help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have got a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Five, we must have faith that the Father will hear our appeal and grant us grace, mercy, and peace. Hebrews 11:6. We must have faith that the Father will hear our appeal and grant us grace, mercy, and peace. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, principle, if we have any known unconfessed sin in our lives, the Father will not grant us our request. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Point six, God our Father possesses supremacy. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thine exalted is head above all. Both riches and honor come out of thee, and Thou reignest over all, and thy hand is power and might, and thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Principle, our Father possesses absolute supremacy over all creation, so our enemies are really just inconsequential, powerless nobodies. Romans 8:31. Did you hear that? Our enemies are nobodies compared to God. It's like we're nobodies compared to God. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Principle, our Father possesses sovereignty over all creation, so our enemies are just really just inconsequentially powerless nobody. 7. God our Father possesses sovereignty. Psalm 135:6. Wheresoever the Lord pleases, he did he in the heaven and in the earth and in the seas and the high places. Principle, our Father possesses absolute sovereignty over all creation, so no one can challenge his right to act on his own behalf. Job 23:13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. 4:8, God our Father possesses eternal life. Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. I, even I, am he. This represents the eternalness of God. Psalm 90:2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Our Father is eternal by nature, and therefore he will sustain us in time and death and eternity. Psalm 23. I love that old psalm. Remember, one of the first psalms I ever memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. I'm sorry, I know it's been with all. My mind just stopped for a second. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First Corinthians 15:51-57. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of it, of sin, is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One 9, God our Father possesses immutability. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent thee. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Principle, our Father is immutable, so he is unchangeable in his being, his essence, his attributes, and his word. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, for there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All right, our Father is immutable, so he is unchangeable in his being, his essence, his attributes, and his word, and therefore absolutely dependable at all times. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should be lie, neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? All right, our Father is immutable, so he is unchangeable in his being, his essence, his attributes, his word, and therefore absolutely dependable at all times. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make good? Deuteronomy 7:8. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 10. Our God possesses omnipotence. Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, thy power belongeth unto God. Principle, our Father is omnipotent, so he is all-powerful, and therefore no person, any combination of people can overpower him. Psalm 89:6. For who in the heaven can be compared to a Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Daniel 4:35. And all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or shall I say unto him, what doest thou? The principle again, as far as omnipotence, he is all powerful, therefore no personal accommodation of people can overpower him.
Well, hopefully by the grace of God we can get this class in with a half hour to go. All right, God our Father possesses omnipotence, Psalm 62:11. Our Father's omnipotency is all-powerful, and therefore no person, any combination of person, people can overpower him, Psalm 89:6 with Daniel 4:35. Point 11, God our Father possesses omniscience, Job 26:6. Job 26:6. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. Job 34:21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Principle, our Father possesses the knowledge of all things that will occur in their chronological order in both time and eternity. In accord with his eternal purpose, he has final authority and control over them. Isaiah 46:9 to 11. This is preparing you to deal with life day by day through faith rest in the Father. Remember therefore the things of old, for I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a country, yea, far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I also will do it. Ephesians 1, 9-11, looking at it from the point of the man of destiny, the history-thinking man. The history man of destiny versus the materialistic man of today. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, the dispensation, the fullness of time, he might bring together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In the dispensation, the fullness of time, God will bring all things together to his eternal glory. Second principle, since the Father possesses perfect wisdom and knows all things, nothing can occur from which he has not previously prepared an answer. Isaiah 45:5. God is causing all things to come together for his eternal purpose, so therefore he has an answer to all things. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me, I girded thee up, though thou hast not known me. Verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from the time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Proverbs 33:11. I'm sorry, there is no Proverbs 33, of course, so let's see. Let's see if it's Proverbs 3:11 that I want. Typographical error. My son despise not, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The other passage we wanted, Psalm, was probably Psalm 33 instead of Proverbs. Let's go back and look at Psalm 33:10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen in naught, he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to every generation. Psalm 33, 10, 11. Proverbs 19, 21. Proverbs 21, 30. There is no wisdom to understand nor counsel against the Lord. Hebrews 6, 17. When God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Point 12, God our Father possesses omnipresence, Job 23:9. On the left hand where he doth work, but he cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job 20, all right, verse 26. I'm sorry, there is no Job 23. Oh, Job 26, 28 is what I want, I'm sorry. There is no Job 26, 28. Again, we got a typographical error here. My apology there. I do make mistakes. If you want a perfect pastor, you'll have to send to heaven for one. There are none upon the earth today. Never has been, never will be. The omnipresence of God. All right, God possesses omnipresence. All right, Psalm 139:7. Whither I shall go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Actually, Job chapters 26 and 28 both teach the principle of God being everywhere. So the whole chapters teach this. Principle, our God, our Father's omnipresence, so he will always be with us, Ephesians 4, 6. Ephesians 4, 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. He indwells us. 1:14, our Father possesses righteousness, John 17:25. John 17:25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And justice, Job 37:23. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Our Father is righteous and just. So first of all, our Father is righteous and just, so he will always be fair to us. 1:15, our Father possesses perfect love. 1 John 4:8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Principle, our Father loves us with an everlasting love, so we can never be unloved. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love of God. God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. With Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. 4:16, our Father possesses veracity, John 7:28. He's absolute truth, John 7:28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whom I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you may know not." John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Principle, our Father speaks truth at all times, and therefore we can believe his promise to be faithful to us even if we deny him. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Principle, faith worth living is walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-25. And therefore, and I therefore become your, I'm sorry, it's 4:5-16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, we live in the Spirit, and we do because he gave us spiritual life. We're regenerated by him. Let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, where the faith was living is walking in the Spirit, depending on Christ to fight our battles for us. 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. All right, faith for us living is walking in the Spirit, depending on Christ to fight our battles for us, and utilizing the spiritual peace that the Father gives to us. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to thee which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. All right, that's the doctrine of faith rest, of faith rest living in relation to the essence and attributes of God. Faith rest living, all right, doing the will of the Lord. Doing the will of the Lord. The true will of the Lord, not something man has made up and dreamed up. The going phase we saw was yieldingness, the doing phase is obedience, and we start out with the obedience as related to fellowship, as it relates to the Word of God. Now let's look at what Paul has to say on it. We looked at what Peter says. Paul, all right, and John. John was especially interested. What did he do? John emphasized spiritual fellowship, being in fellowship, no sin unconfessed, having fellowship with the Father, having fellowship with the Son, having fellowship with the Spirit, having fellowship with one another, staying in love, fellowship, expressing that fellowship in love. In contrast, Peter emphasized spiritual growth. He used the terms increase, improvement, development. Paul emphasized remedies as relates spiritual growth to the great apostasy. How to live in the last days. 2 Timothy 1:6-8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Thy gift of God which is in thee, by putting on my hands, for God hath not given up the spirit of fear, given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as a prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Second Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Second Timothy 2:1-5. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and things that thou hast heard of me. Among many witnesses the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others. That thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. We are chosen to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet it is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. All right, we saw the issue, passing the colors on to the next generation. The issue of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not get so entangled in the details and circumstances of life, people, relations, geographical places, materialistic things, the chains of time, that we miss our spiritual impact and our spiritual concept. Second Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ, seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There is power in God that is available to us, the power that raised Christ from the dead to meet these tests of life. Second Timothy 2:14-16, of these things put thee in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but that the subverting of the hearers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Verses 21-25, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared in every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God's peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. 3:8. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from them turn away. 3:12, yea, and all they that will be godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 4:2, preach the word, best and in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verses 7-8, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. I've kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Verses 14-15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, the Lord reward him according to his works, of whom they beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. All right, in each one of these cases we see an issue. The issue is we're to press forward to doing is living by the perception and application of the Bible doctrine, being in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and fellowship with other believers by truly loving other believers. Love is action. Love is not a bunch of words. Love is action. I read in the newsletters yesterday morning, 4:30 in the morning, over next door at the shopping center mailbox there. There's too many to carry to town. Have no way to get to the post office in our area here because it's several miles away. So an old friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, he's over 90. Used to live in that neighborhood, now lives down in the city of Edmonds. Comes up every morning in his truck to get coffee, still keeps going. I think he's now a believer in Jesus Christ. He was a drunk when I first knew him, a successful drunk, a very rich businessman. Talking for a minute, he mentioned the man I think I knew he was talking about, but I was not absolutely sure. But he mentioned this man's company had moved his wife down to Oregon, paid all her expenses to move down there and stuff, set her up in an apartment in Oregon down there. The husband was up here running his company. wife was down in Portland working for a company making a lot of money. The two were living together. I thought, how sad, that's what we got. So many homes broken, so many homes divided these days. So many people stretched thin, money-wise, because materialistic things are more important. When you've been through the things that I've been through with my wife, and you'll realize how important it is to walk side by side and be there for each other. And she's been through with me. Doctrine is practical. When doctrine is not doing my own thing, doctrine is serving the Lord. Having impact. I've taught for years the greatest area of accountability for us as Christians will begin with our relationships within our marriage. Because in most cases, this is a period of time. We spend the longest time to do something. All right, the Lord Jesus Christ also had many admonishments to assist one in cultivating their personal relationship and walk with the Lord. Matthew 4:17, for that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 19, he said, then follow me and I will make you fishers of men. 5:11-12, blessed are you when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Falsely, for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for the great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verses 24 and 25, leave there my gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verses 28 to 30, but I say to you, thou, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's why I say, is not a man walking the face of this earth past puberty or a woman, at some time or another has not created either fornication if you're not married, or if the other person is not married, sexual fantasy fornication or sexual fantasy adultery or sexual fantasy homosexuality or sexual fantasy lesbianism, depending on what your fantasy is. That's language people don't want to hear. Let's get blunt about it. Some guy's checked out some doll and says, man, I'd like to have sex with her. That's adultery, the Word of God says. I didn't write it. Jesus Christ said it. Well, it mean quite that way. Well, man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That doesn't mean you hadn't done it in years. You may have got squared away, got your life squared away with Jesus Christ. You're perfectly happy in your plan. You're moving forward to plan accordingly. We're all weak. We're all an acceptable thing. Some say it depends upon whether we have a tendency or a lust trends toward immoral depravity, or religious depravity. I've known two pastors' wives that walked off and deserted their husbands and got divorces. They committed adultery so they could justify their divorce with their husband on the grounds that was grounds of divorce, even though they were the ones committing adultery. Told their husband, we did it, yeah, you can divorce us. So whether the husband wanted a divorce or not, didn't mind, they went out. Of course, they reaped the guilt feelings of it, I'm sure, for the rest of their life, because the issue is that they chose to commit the sin as part of their escape mechanism. I know two pastors' wives who got caught in bisexuality and left their husband. One is a woman preacher, and she's still the pastor of a liberal church. I didn't say she was born again. A liberal church, and she is now no longer married to her husband. She is now living with her lesbian partner. People may justify whatever they want to in their own eyes. The standard is the Word of God. Christ went on and said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For if it profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast down. They weren't talking about going blind. It was talking about over controlling the body from the spirit and soul. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her has divorced, committed adultery. Verses 34 to 37 of Matthew 5. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven nor for it is at God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Then shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, nay, nay, yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Matthew 5:39. But I shall say to you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. It doesn't mean you let somebody beat you in the ground. No. There is a practical application here, but we have to understand the whole principle of what's being taught. Verses 41 to 48. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You have to have an answer then for him that would borrow. Of thee turn not thy way. Ye have heard that he has said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you, persecute you, that you may be children of the Father which is in heaven. For he hath made his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sent the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. All right, Matthew 6:1-8. Take heed that ye do not honor before men to be seen in heaven. Otherwise ye have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as a hypocrite do in the synagogue and the streets, which thou may glory of men. Really, I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and that the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. But then thou prayest, enter into a closet in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is verses 14 and 15 of chapter 6. But if you forget not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm not just reading verses to be reading. I'm trying to give you examples to prepare you for where we're going. We're just about through with these examples. I mean, these are Christ speaking here. Verses 16 to 21. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. They appear not unto me yet to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. And have for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But have for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, but no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning money. Verses 25-34, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, shall not be arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast out in the oven, shall not he that much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, having given you all those verses as a background, we'll begin our next class. We'll pick up and look at the doing phase as it relates to obedience. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise will not return void, but will accomplish all you designed it for. In Christ's name, amen.